why was the zombie so tired in the morning? Because he had to work the graveyard shift. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of July 3rd, 2016. I'm Simon Etwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Dupe.
I almost tripped myself up because when I changed the date, I did not change the TH, so I have in the show notes, it is July 3rd. 3th. July 3rd. Yeah. 3rd. I fixed it now, after I had to say it. Yep, Threeth. After many moons, many moons, we're back again.
How many moons?
With a new recording app, and hopefully this works well. And that's my hope, because it makes my life easier.
Which makes my life easier.
Does it? You don't deal with the editing at all?
Nope.
Because you tried that one time.
I did. It failed spectacularly.
Yes, so it's been, what, 6 months since the date I just changed from was January?
6 months since we didn't record?
Yeah, 6 months since the last one. We're almost as bad as Sam and Liam.
Name drop.
I didn't name the podcast, though, because I couldn't remember it for All Work, No Play? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, All Work.
It's been so long since they released an episode. I can't remember.
I was talking about them, and I couldn't remember either of their names.
Oh, I have no problem remembering the actual voice actors' names, because I watch anime on Netflix, and I go, oh, hey, it's Liam. Yeah. Oh, hey, it's Sam.
That's how I describe them as. I'm like, they're those guys that's in all the animes.
They're in a lot. If you watch Naruto, and specifically Naruto Shippuden, they're all over it. All over it. It's kind of ludicrous. Anyway, they're not in our news at all, so we should probably move in to our actual news. Starting, as always, with the movie news. So on Twitter, what the hell day was? I don't know, sometime this week, maybe it was last week. 21st of June, Bryan Cranston tweeted that he was excited to play Zordon in the Power Rangers movie. So, Zordon is going to be Bryan Cranston.
This is great casting.
How cool is that?
I figured it was like Patrick Stewart is number one choice,
yeah,
and
pretty much.
Number two is probably Bryan Cranston.
I also like that this, because of this, I discovered a factoid that... Bryan Cranston, back on the like original Power Rangers, did voices of like monsters. And because the people liked him so much, they named Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger, after him. Like the last name, Cranston, was because of him.
I had no idea.
Apparently that's a real fact. According to Bryan Cranston, that's a true fact.
I can believe Bryan Cranston.
He's trustworthy.
I feel like he's an authority on himself.
So, this is, out of all of the cast, this is two people that we have heard of. I mean, all of the Rangers are basically unknowns, which I think is exactly how they should cast. Because you got, how the hell do you say that? Dacre? D-A-C-R-E? Dacre? Montgomery as the Red Ranger, Jason. RJ Seiler as Billy the Blue Ranger. Naomi Scott as Kimberly the Pink Ranger. I don't know if she's Canadian, but the old Pink Ranger was Canadian. Just saying. Becky G as Trini, the Yellow Ranger. And Ludie Lynn. That's a terrible name. I pity you. Ludie Lynn as Zach, the Black Ranger. And Elizabeth Banks, who's the other name we know, as Rita Repulsa. Which I also think is great casting.
Just a weird suit.
But, so that's interesting. I forgot this was happening up until, this news came out. I totally forgot that the movie was a thing that was going to exist. It's coming out, oh gee, that's early next year. March 24th is the scheduled date. That'll have to be, That's probably a cheap night, actually. That's probably a cheap night movie. Not an opening weekend movie.
I don't know. We'll see.
Wait until the trailers get here.
Yeah, wait until I see a Zord.
Oh my god. I watched the first episode of the new Voltron on Netflix yesterday. I don't know which came first, Voltron or the Japanese Power Rangers, whatever the hell that's called, Super Saiyan, whatever. But seriously, one of them was ripping off the other one hard. So hard.
Probably Power Rangers.
Yeah. Probably.
I would say ripping off some perfecting.
Hmm?
Really perfecting.
What did you say?
Not ripping off, it's perfecting.
Sure. Sure it is. Anyway, next news. I like a couple of attempts in these notes to make it interesting headlines, and then I just gave up. If you look at the notes, you can tell when I gave up.
Show notes you can find on our site.
Weeklynews.com. Anyway, so next thing is Jim Carrey gets Arcane. Because they're doing with him with I wish I could find the bloody movie studio. Anyway, they're doing an alright, Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment, which is Steven Spielberg's movie studio, will develop an adaptation of Alistair Arcane, which is a horror comic from IDW, starring Jim Carrey, and who will also be an executive producer, and Eli Roth will direct, which is interesting because Eli Roth does pretty good horror. I don't know if you've ever seen Hostel. That's kind of his big. It's kind of his big thing.
Oh man, Eli Roth. Not a fan of Hostel. It is brutal, and I am screaming.
It's pretty fucking brutal. Yeah, it's kind of.
I still can't get that blowtorching an eyeball out of my head.
Yeah, that's kind of his big thing. And John Crocker will adapt the comic for the screen. So he will write the screenplay. So I'm confused that his John Crocker's thing mentioned in brackets was The Woman in Black 2, Angel of Death. I didn't know that was a thing. Isn't The Woman in Black the Harry Potter movie? Wasn't that The Woman in Black? Yeah, was that the
guy, yeah.
Something. Yeah, Harry Potter.
Yeah, I had no idea there was a second.
40 years after the first haunting at Eelmarsh House, Agu, children evacuated from World War II London arrive, awakened in the house. Yeah, okay. This sounds like, yeah, it's a sequel to that movie. Weird, I didn't know that.
Harry Potter in it?
Well, no. Did you see that movie?
Scary.
It's actually a pretty decent movie. The sequel came out in 2014. I think I can spoil that movie, right? I can spoil the first Woman in Black. It's older than 2 years.
Sure.
Yeah, he dies at the end. His whole family dies, actually. Well, so his wife is already dead, so it's him and his kid. And then him and his kid die, and it's a semi-happy ending, because they're all reunited in death. It's weird. It also looked like he put the woman in black sort of to rest, like made her at peace. Apparently not.
Crappy job there. Way to go, Radcliffe.
Yeah. That was actually a pretty interesting ending, because it was like, it seemed like he put her to rest, or at least put her at peace for however, because he could walk out of the house with, and you know, everything seemed fine when he was leaving. And then you see her, and then they're waiting to get on a train back to London, I think. Him and his kid. And the kid sees her, the ghost, or something across, and for some reason, the kid starts walking towards the ghost onto the train tracks. And you think, oh, fuck. The woman's not at peace. And then, so he dives down, they get hit by the train, they die. But then in the end, they're all, it's the happy ending because they get, because they die, they're now reunited with wife slash mother. It's like, oh, so she was actually doing them a favor by killing them. But maybe not, because this, now there's a sequel. Interesting. Anyway, back to what we're actually talking about. Alistair Arcane. Todd Lieberman is also going to produce, who's a name I do recognize. Alistair Arcane, the comic, is fairly new. 2004 was when it first came out. Written by the same guy who wrote 30 Days of Night. So, you know, that's pretty creepy too. The story centers on a group of children. The story in the comic, I don't know. The movie story obviously can change. The story centers on a group of children who befriend a former TV horror host. Like those Ghost Hunter type shows, kind of. That kind of horror. I don't watch any of those, so I'm trying to come up with a name in reality to tie it to, but I can't. Anyway, a TV horror host who was shunned by the adults, the parents, and forced off the air, basically. And he cursed the town, and so after he died, only the kids who befriended him have the power to thwart the curse. You know, it's comic. But it's a pretty decent comic. Why does this article in the last paragraph has who the reps are and their lawyers?
Why not?
Why? Why, article? That is so not necessary information.
It is if you're looking for it.
I mean, I guess if you want to contact them through their reps, but I assume if you're a type of person who's going to contact Eli Roth or Jim Carrey through their reps, you probably already know, or you have another way of finding out. That's weird. No date on this yet, but, you know, we just heard that it's going to happen, so. Not soon is the date. Date is not soon. And also, I would suggest you look up, is this issue one? Yeah, the issue one, just the cover of Alistair Arcane. This is the signed edition, the picture I'm looking at. I don't know if it has a different cover. But that face of him is clearly Jim Carrey. Visually, that's a great cast.
And Jim Carrey's a good actor.
But, yes. He also can morph his face to some extent to fit roles. He doesn't always look the same.
That is correct.
All right, so moving to the next piece of news, Andrew. You must be very excited about this.
Oh, you've no idea.
I have some idea.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Pacific Rim 2 finally has a date. I mean, again, I guess they had a year before. They never had a proper date, right?
Yeah. And then there was put on hold indefinitely. And then.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So they also cast another person.
Yeah, they did.
And along with this date, a rather large person at this point, considering he also stars in a major sci-fi series now.
Yeah.
John Boyega, who played Finn in Force Awakens, has been cast as Idris Elba's son. The character of Idris Elba's son, which got absolutely zero mention in the first movie, so it's kind of weird. It's kind of like they didn't plan a sequel or something for that movie. And this one will be directed by Stephen S. D. Knight, who, this article says Daredevil director. I'm assuming it's the Netflix series Daredevil, not the Ben Affleck movie, but yeah, I don't know. I could have looked that up prior to recording, but why would I do that? That's like smart.
Yeah.
I'm searching right now. But Guillermo del Toro is still there as producer, and I assume he'll be like a hands-on producer, not a just producer in name.
Yeah. Because he's del Toro.
Yeah, because he's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looks like he directed the Stephen D. Knight, which is a weird last name. D.E. Knight, like medieval knight. It's a very strange Even last name.
The Knight.
So yeah, John Boyega, plus this date, which is February 23rd, 2018. You know, sounds like a good plan to me.
Wonder if Macy Williams is gonna happen.
Is that a rumor?
Yeah. They keep talking and bringing it up that she wants to be in it, and Del Toro's like, yeah, she's awesome.
Oh, what else? She, I mean, she was in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen any of that season still, so. Same.
Working on it.
I should get on that. But I'd watch that. I love Macy Williams. She's great.
And I love Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
And Boyega is great.
And yeah, John Boyega is great.
Just dominating all my movies now.
I think that Pacific Rim got a little bit of undue hate because I don't know what people were expecting. Like, it's exactly what it promised. Which is, you know, giant robots punching giant monsters.
I mean, it also had some extra, air quotes, character development.
But not much. Which is fine, because that's not really what you went to see that movie for. I didn't go to see Pacific Rim.
That's too much. That's my only complaint about that movie.
What? Oh, God. Sorry, I opened up one of my next story tabs and I got it autoplays a video really loudly. I deafened myself. Anyway, yeah. So February 23rd, 2018, Pacific Rim 2, John Boyega. All good stuff. And finally, in the movies of a sequel that we probably knew was going to come eventually, Wreck-It Ralph sequel is coming March 9th, 2018. So, what's that, like 2 weeks after Pacific Rim 2?
Oh, neat.
Actually, it might be less than that. Maybe a week and a half. February 23rd to March 9th. That's about 2 weeks.
Could be a good time.
It is as yet untitled. Like, we don't... I assume it'll have a subtitle of some kind.
And with the gangbuster success of the last one, I'm sure there's going to be more Vidya game characters in it.
Probably. It obviously, both Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz back. So that's John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman have both been confirmed back for those characters. Sweet. I assume Felix will be back, and probably Jane Lynch's character, the one from the FPS. I don't remember that character name. But I assume she'll be back. And this one has something to do with the internet. Like, they somehow escape onto the internet and that they're wrecking stuff.
Oh boy, that means maybe memes.
Oh, that means definitely memes. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
That means definitely memes.
We're gonna have keyboard cats and cheeseburger cats and...
And doges?
Yeah, this is gonna be great.
I want keyboard cat. I could always use my keyboard cat in my life.
Way more excited for this movie now.
That's basically all the information that I have seen at this point. But it has a date, and they're wrecking shit on the internet, so it's going to be awesome. Moving on to a quick couple of TV things. I meant to keep the page for this first point up, but I guess I did not bookmark it. It's fine, I remember most of the important information anyway. My headline on this one is, The Flash Gets Felton. Because Tom Felton of, you know, Harry Potter fame has been cast as a recurring character in the next season of The Flash, the CW Flash series, as another, he's Central City, right? Flash is Central City?
I don't know.
You don't know. I'm pretty sure he's Central City. as another CSI, which is what Barry Allen is. He's a CSI. But he gets suspicious of him of some in some way. That's all it said on the article.
Plot thickens.
Plot thickens, yeah. But that's interesting. People like Tom Felton.
Yeah.
Some people really like Tom Felton. I haven't seen him in anything outside of Harry Potter, I don't think.
Planet of the Apes?
Nope, haven't seen it.
Planet of the Apes?
Haven't seen it.
Whatever the first new one is.
Yeah. Dawn? And then there was Rise?
Yeah, I think so. He was in that.
I'm pretty sure. I have not seen.
I think that's the only
either of them.
Big one I can think of.
I just Googled him, and there it is. His IMDb is like the fourth thing down on Google. That is weird. Feed, United Kingdom, Levy, Message, Scan, Risen, nope. I haven't seen any of these. Labyrinth. I wonder if that has anything to do with the movie. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Harry Potter. Get him to the... Oh, he played himself in Get Him to the Greek. That looked like a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Haven't seen... Oh, The Borrowers. I saw The Borrowers. Apparently he was in that.
Like, from forever ago?
1997, yeah. The animated movie. Yeah. But no, I haven't seen him in anything outside of, like, the three Harry Potter movies I've seen.
Have you seen all of them?
No, I haven't seen all of them. I've seen, like, three. I saw the second last one, the first one, and one of the ones in the middle. Goblet of Fire, maybe? Is that the one with the competition? I think I saw the one with the competition.
Yeah.
I think I saw that one. When I was sick one time, my dad was watching it, and I was just sitting on the couch. So, you know, that really doesn't even count as watching it, I don't know. The Borrowers. Yep, 1997. John Goodman. Weird. Yeah, so, you know, I assume that's good news for people who like him and probably people who like The Flash. I still haven't gotten around to watching even the first season of The Flash. I think Erica owns it on DVD. I think we bought it for real cheap one time and we haven't gotten around to watching it yet. And I also think it was on Netflix for a while. We'll get there eventually. All right. Moving on to our next thing, which is technically kind of TV, as it is a series. It is TV because it's not a movie. In the next season of Con Man, which is the Alan Tudyk web series, they have cast Eliza Dushku as a... what the hell are they called? Casting director. She is a casting director. And so Ray Nearly, who is Alan Tudyk's character, who is kind of sort of himself, is trying to get cast in the show, basically. And so he's trying to get this casting director, who's passive-aggressive, because this show is made by actors, and so casting directors are all going to be passive-aggressive. She's trying to get her to cast it. I also have not watched Con Man yet, but I've seen... I heard it was great, and I've seen the bloopers. Everything. I don't think I did. I don't think I had any money at the time, so I don't think I backed it.
I just keep forgetting to check back and actually watch it.
It's on Vimeo. Vimeo on demand. But, I don't have it. I watched the bloopers. The bloopers are hilarious. I didn't realize Henry Rollins was in it. Henry Rollins is in it at some point.
There'd be lots of people in it.
Oh, yeah. There's Felicia Day was in it as well, obviously. Nathan Fillion, obviously, which we knew.
Yeah.
Somebody else I recognized. But yeah, I haven't, I think I'm going to watch it. Heard it's great, though. I mean, I assume it's got to be great. It's written and directed by Alan Tudyk. Starring people he knows, mostly.
Alan Tudyk is also going to be in Rogue One.
I want to say I heard that, but I don't remember where.
Going to be the robot team.
Hmm. I also saw the news about... oh my god, what's the guy's name? The guy's name. In Rogue One, he's the extremist. He's got the lazy eye.
Oh.
Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker? Yeah. Is that the right name? Yeah, I saw the news about his background. Yeah, which is interesting, because he's from the Clone Wars, yeah.
The first, like, originally animated character in the Star Wars universe to become real.
Yeah, but we know all that stuff is technically canon, so yeah. They can pull from any of that shit. It is
nice, real neat though. That they're doing it, though.
Yeah, it is nice that they're pulling it into the movie. I mean, that got a mention in one of the books, I think, as well. That character is being extremist ways when after it was like a book that was one of the canon books after episode 6, and when basically people were saying that the rebellion was, you know, space terrorists, and he was pointed out as one of the reasons why, because apparently he's super extreme, like he was in this show. But yes, Con Man Season 2, I don't think it has a date. I just closed my page on it because I'm an idiot. right under the bus. Blah, 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 blah. About how they worked before Season 2 of Con Man will be released this fall. So it doesn't have an actual date, but you know, quarter 3. Ooh, all season one episodes are available to view on Comic-Con HQ, which I don't even know what that is, and Amazon Streaming Partners Program. It's also on Vimeo On Demand. So those are the three places you can get season one. Where you can basically watch Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion play crazy versions of themselves. Pretty much.
Yep.
I mean, for those who don't know, Con Man is Ray Nearly, the Alan Tudyk character, is attempting to escape the shadow of a canceled sci-fi show on which he played a character. He and Nathan Fillion both starred up. That's kind of the thing. And the Nathan Fillion character is a character who got, or he continued on to become more popular or more famous, I guess, than more successful in breaking out of that sci-fi show, I guess, than the Alan Tudyk character did. Which is kind of true of Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk in reality.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk, I hate that website.
Everything.
What?
Alan Tudyk isn't everything. Just doesn't have the same...
He is, yeah, but he doesn't. I mean, even in shows he stars in, like, I want to say, was it Suburbia or something like that? It's not, it's just not as big a thing as it is. Yeah. Castle, what's got canceled? They're done. I don't think they're getting another season this. Either they're getting one last, I don't remember, they're either getting one last season or the last season was the end of that. I'm not sure.
Been on forever.
It's fine. They lasted like 9 seasons, so you know.
Now we can see Nathan Fillion go on to other things.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to Divijima Games'.
Ray.
Do you want to start this one?
Sure. I think I put them in.
You did.
First note, E3 happened.
2 weeks ago, it did.
It's pretty exciting, and now we just kind of wait.
Yeah, most of the things most of the things that I'm really excited for don't come out till 2017 anyway.
Yeah, same.
So, I mean, there were some definitely some good things coming out this year. A couple of good things, but...
I pre-ordered Battlefield 1 and Gears of War and Pokemon.
Yeah, I pre-ordered nothing, but I'll probably...
After E3, I was all hyped up, and I'm like, I'm going to get a PlayStation. But yeah, all those good games aren't out until next year.
I'll pick up Horizon, I'm sure. Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm sure I'll pick that up.
Oh, I'm going to pick up Horizons for sure, like 100%.
I may or may not buy an X-Bones. I'm not sure yet, really, if I want to buy an Xbox One S.
Should.
I might. And I might also buy the next Nintendo system with the Zelda. So it's supposed to... Breath of the Wild is supposed to launch with the next system. So I might just buy the next system. The NX or whatever the fuck it's going to actually be called. Breath of the Wild version. Because I'm a Nintendo fanboy and I do that.
I gotta wait and see what the NX is about before I
get into that. I just hope they do away with their motion stuff, because they're still every so often trying it, like Star Fox. The Wii U Star Fox sounds terrible.
Heard horrible things about it.
Yeah, because they fucked around with the control scheme in a dumb way. Which is too bad, because I really like Star Fox. But yes, E3. So Zelda Breath of the Wild looks awesome. Also, the map is fucking giant in that game, apparently.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, an open world, and it's a lot more borrowing from other RPG games. Like, the cooking system is exactly like Monster Hunter. Which is weird.
I mean, they're trying things, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with trying, with experimenting and trying things.
Yeah, as long as it turns out okay.
As long as once you realize it's failed, stop trying and experimenting with it. Like your weird motion control stuff. Stop. It's failed. It was a good experiment. Stop.
Yep.
Let's see, what else came out? We Happy Few, that looks creepy and interesting.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
I don't remember. Was that a Microsoft thing?
I don't remember which event it was at, but it's going to be on it, I believe.
Scalebound looks pretty cool. I mean, it's not a guaranteed buy, but that looked pretty cool. Sea of Thieves looked awesome.
Looks like just a fun time.
What the hell is it coming? Yeah, it's definitely a land game. What the hell else came out? Or did they announce? Oh.
That motorcycle Hitman zombie game?
Sure. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was at the Sony.
Oh, I missed part of the Sony.
I don't remember what it's called.
But also God of War. Speaking of Sony.
The God of War looks so good.
I missed the announcement of that one because I was in the shower, which is too bad because apparently... Barry McCreary,
yeah,
was there doing the conducting the orchestra.
Got a name drop, and he stood up, and the camera looked at him. He bowed, and like, yay! Old Man Kratos looks great.
I had another game in my head, and it's gone. What other game was I going to say? I don't remember. Clearly, I named all the games I was excited about. Obviously. It's just pretty much just Zelda and a Horizon. I mean, not to say that there weren't other good games announced, but nothing else is guaranteed by for me. Although, speaking of LAN games, on a completely unrelated note, Andrew, I don't know if it's closed by now, but they were doing online beta keys for What's that game with the... We play it at the LAN all the time. Gang Beasts.
Oh, yeah.
Online multiplayer that is in beta right now. Oh, boy. They're giving away keys. But it was a to-do to get them, so I didn't get any. It was like 5 pages to fill out. I don't want to fill out 5 pages. But that's good, because that means for that game, which is super fun, although also super weird, that means eventually it will be online.
Which is great, because I suck at it.
Everybody sucks at it.
But I don't think I've ever won a game without everyone throwing themselves off the edge.
But yeah, E3, it's what it is. You know, games, guys.
Any games?
I don't know what this next thing is. Is this tabletop?
Yeah, tabletop. So War Machine Mark III, which is like the new version, just came out. They've been on Mark II for years now. And Mark II was fine, but you know, there's things you could upgrade and update, make nicer. And they did that. They made it even more fast paced, more get through game quicker, and got rid of a lot of things that could be argued about. So like before, you weren't allowed to pre measure before you moved units or shot or whatever. Now you can just measure whenever you want. That's a big one.
But wasn't there ways to cheeseball pre-measuring anyway?
Yeah, which is another good reason. Because specifically my army is not good at doing that cheeseball pre-measure thing. Whereas all the other armies are just like, I'm just going to... You would check what's called your focus command range. It uses your focus and it's doubled. And then that's how far... can check to make sure that people stay inside your command zone. But you could check it at any time, and you just be like, I'm going to check my command zone this way between my caster and your unit. Yep, that looks good. All my casters have garbage focus, so they can't do very far. But now, just measure whenever. They also came out with awesome starter boxes. They're $39. They come with a Warcaster and I think like 30 points of stuff, which in War Machine works out to actually technically 0 points, because your Warcaster has points to buy the Warjacks that come in it. And that's called a duel. 0 point duel.
Okay.
So it gives you like a starting area. You build off of this. It's in molded colored plastic for your army. And then inside it comes with dice. It comes with tokens to track your focus and status effects. And it comes with cheap ruler, paper, plastic thing. It's okay. And it comes with a little miniature version of the rule book for the new version. It's just the rules.
So, kind of like a quick access rules, basically?
It's the full rules. But it's just the rules. Like, the full rule book, it comes with a stat sheets and stuff for each individual army, and then a whole bunch of fluff and like how to paint your army and this army and that army and blah blah blah, extra stuff pretty much. Whereas this is the full rules, just the rules section. But the starter pack also comes with a faction specific starter guide, so gives you the fluff background on your army, what they've done, what they're doing. It gives you a collector's tips, model building tips, painting tips for your army specifically. Like in mine, it comes with a thing, and it's two pages just on how to do the basic Kador red properly. And it goes step-by-step pictures, and it tells you, like, terms and description of terms, like base coat, highlighting, shading. And then, like, the next page, it's, like, how you do steel. These are the different colors you should do. This is the color range. It's phenomenal starter. And again, with War Machine, all of your stats and stuff, they all come with the units that you buy. So you don't have to buy a codex, like a separate book for your army specifically. All the rules for that unit that you got come with the unit. Also, the rules are free online.
Yeah, that's good.
So unlike other miniature companies, you can just buy the models at a reasonable price, build them, and then go to town.
Gee, I wonder what other company who doesn't price things reasonably you might be talking about.
Oh, man. The new rule book is huge. It is giant, full-color, hardcover book. I don't even know how many pages it is, but it's massive. Because it's got the stats and the rules and the fluff and it's huge. And it's only $60. And for each army in 40K, the one codex is at least $60. Some of them are more. And that's just for the army. The rule book is like $100.
Yeah.
And it's way thinner.
Yeah, well, Warhammer is Games Workshop is crazy, so that's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they open their own physical stores, and it's denied anybody else from ever selling their stuff.
They can sell them in store, they just can't sell them online.
Sorry. Yeah. They're crazy.
Yeah, they're crazy. They're crazy, and I hate them, but I love their product to death, but I can't afford their product. Life is hard. Yeah, if you're ever thinking about starting like into tabletop stuff and the miniatures, this Mark III thing is amazing.
It's a good time to start, you're saying.
It's a great time to start. And everyone should buy one. You should buy one, Simon.
Meh, maybe.
Rules are fun, easy, simple. Especially compared to other tabletop games.
Maybe. Probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to our last thing in games.
All right. Which
I vaguely looked at, but didn't really look at that closely.
Heroes of the Storm. They just announced Gul'dan and Aurel.
I think it's Aurel.
Aurel?
That's how I would pronounce it, but I don't play Diablo, so I don't know. And that's clearly a Diablo name.
Angel of Hope? I haven't seen what anyone say, like, what the two of them are. But it seems like they're both ranged assassins.
I would say Gul'dan's probably a ranged assassin or maybe specialist.
Yeah.
He's certainly not warrior support. Obviously. I could see the warlock doing specialist stuff or assassin stuff.
I could see it maybe being a specialist, but in the video they didn't show him like attacking any structures or anything. From the looks of the moves he's doing, he could do some serious wave clear, but I don't know. Aurel is almost definitely a ranged assassin.
We didn't actually watch the videos. We knew about Gul'dan when we knew about Medivh, pretty much, in the hero trailer for Medivh. Yeah. At the end of it, you see Gul'dan, or you, there's a Gul'dan thing there. So everybody's like, oh, well, I guess Gul'dan's next.
And it makes sense, given that the movie happened. Yep. Gul'dan's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, the and movie happened, and it awesome.
Expansion.
Yes, that's true. And we already have Illidan.
True.
Who's also awesome.
I'm excited for Gul'dan. Finally got a warlock.
Ooh. I don't care about warlocks.
And more really. Perks is always good. Well, they've also got more skins coming out.
Yeah, some pretty cool ones. There's a lot of sportsy ones coming, apparently.
Yeah, there's a Li Ming volleyball.
Oh, is she volleyball?
Yeah, it's for sure.
I assumed from the name she was soccer, because I saw Li Ming striker, and the striker is a soccer term. But I thought that didn't make any sense, considering how her attacks work.
Yeah, like when she does her hearth, she does like the bump, the volley, the spike, and then she just goes to do the like hammer down thing. I don't know what that's called. Could be a spike. I don't know volleyball.
When you slam it really hard over the net,
yeah,
that's a spike. Yeah.
Yes, nailed it.
Bump is down, top of your arms, below your hips. Volley is the sort of triangle with your hands above your head.
Yeah.
Volley, bump, spike. Yeah. So, I don't also know volleyball, but I know that. Come on, Tien. Just think of Tien. These stupid volleyball fighting moves.
She's got a trophy in one hand and a volleyball in the other. And then there's a Blood Elf skin or... Oh, what's her name? Diablo Warrior, Crusader.
Oh, Johanna?
Johanna, yeah. And Arthas has a sweet, like, Jade Dragon skin.
Some of Arthas' skins already are pretty cool.
This one is, it's so, like, reworked. It changes his sword into, like, a halberd. And
Which has been my problem with Arthas' skins up to this point. They never change Frostmourne. It's always Frostmourne. Even when it's Crown Prince Arthas. I was like, and so it's before he was corrupted. Still Frostmourne.
And now, like, he's got like a serpent dragon that comes up, and it'll, instead of freezing, it turns all to jade. And like they reworked the model, so it actually looks like a different person. Well, it's not just like a different colored Arthas.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's the one that's on the video or on the screen cap for the video on the Heroes launch.
Yeah,
I assume because it looks very Jade Dragon and it looks nothing like Arthas.
Yeah, it's and then there's some new mounts. Whoopee.
People love mounts.
I also don't really like the skins for Gul'dan or. Are real. Pretty boring.
I don't know. I haven't looked at them.
Regular skins are fine.
Yep, that's true. I find that for some other people, some other characters in Heroes now, I'm like, I don't really want to buy any of these skins. They're not that great. Like Lieutenant Morales. I don't really want to buy any of her skins. And I only played her yesterday because I had to play support. And I was like, fuck. I don't own a single support character because I hate playing support.
Oh,
so she was support. She was free, so I played her. I hate playing support. I can't do it.
I like Tyrande, but I don't play her as a support.
I just, I considered buying Karazim because I was like, I can make this guy a fighter if I want to.
Yeah, that's what I do too. I play him.
I can't stand. No, I just want to go fight things. I can't do support. I can't do it. It's It's not in my, I don't know, it's not in my playstyle.
You just don't want to be helpful.
It's also why I would never play Hero. Well, one of the reasons I would never play Hero League.
Yeah.
Because you need to be willing to play anything. Yeah, exactly.
My problem is fighters, or warriors, rather.
I love warriors.
Not good with any warrior.
Last week sometime, I finally leveled up, what's his name? Leoric, one more level, so I could get the Boba Fett. I now have Boba Fett Leoric.
So jealous.
Yeah, I like Leoric and Artanis. And Arthas is pretty... I like Arthas, okay. If I remember to shut off his stupid kill everything around me power, which sometimes I don't. Just waste all my mana.
Yeah. Huge mana drain.
Yeah. So yeah, Gul'dan, Oriel, skins, you know, heroes. It's coming along, guys. That hit a year, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. They had their year.
Like the year of actual release.
Yeah, a year since actual release. They had their year celebration thing. And I was like, really? It's only been out a year? But I think I was thinking of when it got in beta.
Yeah, it was open beta, and there wasn't really any difference between that.
No, just like in Hearthstone. The when I was playing Hearthstone in beta, I was like, and then it launched in game, I was like, oh, there's pretty much no difference. There's just more people playing now. Which is also true. Oh, why don't we have that on the notes, Andrew? Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. That also true of Overwatch, which gets got competitive.
Oh, yeah. Competitive mode.
But it, yes, just last week, I want to say, they finally launched, they got their first update out, which launches the Overwatch competitive mode. Which apparently is salty as all hell. But people also play a little bit better generally, but they're also salty as fuck.
Well, whenever you put online, you get salty.
Yeah. And apparently this is like, I hear Hero League is really bad for salt. Apparently Overwatch is even worse. Which, I mean...
Hero League can't...
It just... Well, when they redid their season, basically when they did a season, because Heroes wasn't in seasons prior to a month ago. When they finally started doing their season, so everybody had to replace. Apparently the first couple of weeks, or the first week of it, was pretty bad.
Yeah, because everyone's trying to get place, and the better you place, the less work you have to do. So there's some frustrations there. I tried like one placement game, and it just got destroyed, and I was like, ah.
With Hero League, you can take one person with you and still be in Hero League.
Yeah.
If you get three, you're now in Team League.
Yeah.
Which you will probably go against full teams of five and get fucking fucked.
Odds are.
In Team League. Yeah, odds are. It's because it's, you know, Team League. I've not played any Hearthstone competitive. I've not played any Overwatch competitive because I haven't played any Overwatch at all since competitive mode launched.
I have, but I haven't touched competitive yet. I don't know if I will because you really need to be like on a team with that one.
Yeah, probably. I know people who've done it like solo. They just go in. It must be so hard without proper communication at a competitive level. I mean, I was playing one time. It was just quick play. And we were on, like, Dorado, and we couldn't get from the opening of the door to the payload. It's like, what, 3 steps in Dorado? We couldn't get the payload moving for a solid 3 minutes, 4 minutes. We got just completely fucked because they had a Hanzo and a Widowmaker who were really good just lighting the fuck out of us up there. And nobody changed. I changed from, I was, Roadhog, because if I'm tank on Dorado, I like to play Roadhog. So I was Roadhog, and I was like, after dying twice and nobody else changed, I was like, all right, I guess we'll just drop a tank for a while. I'll try Pharah. I tried to fly around to them, and they, nope, that didn't work either. So I was like, fine, fuck you. I'm going to be Reinhardt.
Yeah, your team has to really be responsive.
Yeah, otherwise you get fucked. In which case, I got Reinhardt, and I assume somebody else probably changed too. We got the payload moving. I think we won that one, but barely. And I got play of the game, and it was awesome. Because they had a really good Zarya on their team later, too. She was just pissing me the fuck off. So she was just right in front of me, and I was like, fine, fuck you. I charged her right into a wall, killed her. I turn around, there's a Mercy. Firestorm, basic, almost kill her, because apparently a Mercy, you know, doesn't have much health. Imagine that. So crazy. The one direct hit from the Firestorm, or whatever that ability is called, almost killed her. Walked out, hammer once, she's dead. And I look, and she's trying to heal, like, their Hanzo and somebody else. I'm like, oh, really? She start walking at them, swinging the hammer. They try to escape, and they did not. That was my play of the game. It was beautiful, and I loved it. Because I basically fucked almost their entire team.
Yeah, Overwatch is so good. Also, Overwatch is, like, number one in Korea.
League of Legends. It passed League in their... whatchamacallit? They're gaming cafes, things. Yeah, because that's how it works in Korea. People don't buy games. They go to gaming cafes and play them there. Yeah. Pay by the minute. The
League was number one there for
forever?
4 or 5 years straight.
Yeah. Forever.
Overwatch comes out and it's like, what you got, League?
Which is actually kind of funny, considering when they did the Overwatch Open Beta weekend, every notable online game, Dota, what else? Every notable one, except LoL, had a noticeable drop in players that weekend.
Yeah.
Except LoL. LoL had not a noticeable drop. Because, you know, people who play LoL don't realize other games exist. Anyway, shall we move on to our last thing about comics and books? Good. All right. So to start off, Titan Comics. Titan Comics gets Assassins. So Titan Comics has announced it will add Assassin's Creed Last Descendants Locus to the comic universe. Which, yes, that's Assassin's Creed : Last Descendants : Locus. Which is a really, really aggravating name.
Too many colons.
If you need to title something with two colons, you need a new title. Okay? But in Last Descendants Locus, the readers will follow the story of Sean, not the one from the games. Different game. Different Sean. Spelled differently. A teenager caught in the assassin... V Templar conflict in the present day. So as he peers back into the memories of his ancestor, so, you know, common Assassin's Creed stuff, his ancestor Tommy Grayling, he will get to experience the squalor of Victorian London, like in Syndicate. So I assume there will probably be you will mention something that happened in that game, or there'd be a crossover with characters in that game or something, probably. A captivating adventure unfolds with Grayling hunting for the answers to a mystery that could change the world. Which is basically Assassin's Creed.
Yep. Oh, this sounds very part of the course.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I like Assassin's Creed. I still like Assassin's Creed. I have Unity. I've played a little bit of Unity, and it's good. I actually quite like it. I've not played a ton of it, but my Steam version does not work for me. It keeps crashing, but my console version plays fine. Assassin's Creed Rogue was also great. It was fucking awesome. And I hear great things about Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yeah. I have them now, so I'm going to finally go through...
Yeah, you haven't even played 3 yet, have you?
No, I haven't played 3. I played Black Flag. I'm going to do 3, and then Unity, and then...
Do you have Rogue?
I don't.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because if you have Rogue, you should play it before Unity, because it takes place before Unity. I mean, it's... Rogue is an offshoot, basically. An offshoot story, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I'm just leaving the offshoot ones alone now.
I mean, yeah, there's not that many offshoot ones. I mean, there's the mini games that aren't really Assassin's Creed games. The whatever Tales. What the hell are those called? Is it called Assassin's Creed Tales? Something like that.
I don't know, there's too many.
China, yeah, there's four. Well, there's four. The China Adventures, India Adventures, something like that. They're not even really, they don't play like Assassin's Creed games. They're not important. Liberation, it's okay. It's not great. It's passable. But Rogue is worth it, especially if you liked 4. And also, if you just do the story fairly short, you can get through that pretty quick. There are places in that game, in Rogue, that I didn't go anywhere near, because I was just following the story, mostly. And there's places on the map that I was like, I sailed nowhere near that place. Why does it even exist if the story doesn't take me anywhere near it? But anyway, Assassin's Creed Locus is going to arrive in stores on September 21st. Doesn't have a year, so I'm assuming that's this year. Why couldn't you just call it Assassin's Creed Locus? Why Last Descendants? Why two colons, Titan Comics? Why? it really bothers me. Because really bad titling. Where? I'm definitely missing some of my bookmarks. I know I bookmarked this one and I can't find it. So let me do a quick Google to get the page back up. And then I'll talk about the... Sure, that one. Actually, no, let's go with that one. IDW Comics has announced a Star Trek Waypoint series. So with the 50th anniversary being, I believe, this year. I think it was 66. IDW is kicking off a new series that will be different crews. So there's Star Trek Waypoint. Some issues will have the original series, some have Next Gen, some will have... Fuck, they even said one... They even mentioned Archer, so some will have the Enterprise crew. So, but they will... Each issue will have, I think, a couple of stories in it. The new series features... Good, I don't recognize any of those names. Donny Cates, Mark Chatter, and Sandra Lyons. I don't recognize any of those comics writers. So two of them, Cates and Chatter, will team on a lead story set during Next Gen. And the first issue, which sees Geordi and Data putting their minds together to decipher a mysterious ship's coded message.
I really hope they're literally putting their minds together.
I mean, it's Data. He probably could. And the other one in the first issue will illustrate the backup. I don't think that's the right term, guys, but whatever. Taking place during the original series, which is focusing on Uhura as she navigates a strange planet. And, you know, she's somehow reason stranded on a strange planet. Trying to deal with the bizarre alien creature on it. But that is a new ongoing series that should feature one or two stories in each issue. Star Trek Waypoint. So that's interesting. I mean, if you just, like me, who just likes general Star Trek, like, I don't mind, as much as I don't like the show Enterprise, I don't mind some of the crew is actually really good. So I'd be all right reading comics about the Enterprise crew. You know?
Yeah. I like more Star Trek.
Yeah, more Star Trek is good Star Trek. So that's coming in, the first issue will be in stores also in September, probably this year. And speaking of Star Trek, there is, and comics, there is right now, I believe, the Star Trek Humble Bundle. So Humble is partnering with IDW to offer a bundle of 50 volumes of comics.
50 is a big number.
50 is a giant number. So, I mean, that is obviously, if you do $1 or more, you get Star Trek Classics Volumes 1 to 3, Star Trek Next Gen Ghosts, Star Trek Next Gen Hive, Star Trek Volume 1 to 3, Star Trek Countdown, Star Trek Countdown to Darkness, Star Trek Movie Adaptation, Star Trek DS9 Fool's Gold, Star Trek Gold Key Archives Volume 1 and 2. Then 8, if you go 8 more, you get 1, 2, I'm just going to count them. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. More things, some of which are volumes 1 through 3, volumes 4 through 6. I mean, a lot of things. There's a ton of things for $8. It's 18 things, some of which are in multiple volumes for $8. 15, you get... if you pay $15, you get Star Trek Access Planet of the Apes, The Primate Directive.
Oh, man.
Star Trek/Green Lantern, The Spectrum War.
Yeah, I'm looking at these now.
Star Trek TNG/Doctor Who Assimilation, Volume 2. Volume
2, yeah.
And a bunch of other normal Star Trek stuff. And then you pay 25, you get all that stuff, obviously, plus an all-new Humble exclusive print edition. Of what, though? An all-new Humble exclusive print edition shipped to their homes. What does that even mean? And of what? I'm guessing it's a thing in the next sentence. The Star Trek New Visions special. More of the Serpent than the Dove. Features a it's a brand new story that picks up where TOS episode Arena left off.
Interesting.
Which is the Gorn episode.
Yeah, I see that face.
As an extra special bonus, this issue also contains a re-presentation of Star Trek Leonard McCoy, Frontier Doctor Number 1. And then on... This says on July 6th, look for 7 additional special titles to join the bundle. So if you pay the 25 or more, basically all that stuff at full price would cost around $400, $450. And digitally, you can get that for $25, plus the one thing's actually a print edition shipped to your house. The Gorn thing, special for this Humble Bundle. So, you know, if you like comics, if you like comics and you like Star Trek a lot, $25 gets you a metric shit ton. It's a lot. It's a lot of comics. Good luck reading them all. All right, Andrew. I wrote this in the notes, but I told you that I didn't want to do the research on it because I knew you were up to the task of talking of what the hell this movie means.
Oh boy. Okay. Let me bring it up. So, J.K. Rowling put out all the stuff on Pottermore for the North American school Livermorny.
I think it's I-L.
Ilvermorny?
It's Ilver, because there's probably a capital I and then a small L.
Dyslexic moment.
It's a dumb name. You should not have a capital I followed by a small L.
Oh, you think that name is dumb.
The houses?
You're the houses. I mean, it's Harry Potter. So it's like halfway between a story and a textbook, this multi-page thing talking about the history, the founders, the ties with the UK people. And it's like it was founded 1600s. Person like escaped Ireland from her crazy aunt. who was involved with, like, Slytherin himself. And I'm going to spoil this stuff because I don't care.
I assume everybody...
If you care, you've read it.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody who cares is caught up on it.
If you don't care, I'm saving you a lot of trouble.
Hi, that's me.
Yeah. And so it's like... a bunch of these brothers, the brothers Booth, I think, is the name. Booth.
Okay. Something like that. Brothers with a stupid name. Got it.
And they're like, you know, our names are stupid. So, I mean, that's not exactly what they said, but paraphrasing. So they,
I figured.
They decided to pick their favorite magical animals from North America to have as noses.
Yeah, the article I have does not have the house's names in it. It does have, however, some funny comments by people, by like politicians and a senator from that place and a governor. It's pretty funny.
So, the four houses are Wampus, Thunderbird, Huckwudgie.
Weird.
And Horn Serpent.
Okay, I've heard of the first two. I've never heard of the last two.
And the way that this thing works is you go into this room and then there's these statues of each of the animals and they'll like glow for what house you're going to be in. And sometimes two of them will glow or three of them will glow. And in one case, all four glow. And then you just make a choice. But the characteristics of each of them is less, like, nerds, evil people, brave people, the rest. It's got to do with, like, your body, mind, or warrior spirit, or some nonsense. It doesn't make much sense. It's less quantifiable and or mumbo jumbo, I guess. But this all ties in with the magical creatures or fantastic beasts or
Beasts? I think it's Fantastic Beasts. That one sounds familiar.
And where to find them. Because a lot of people there went to that school. And the school, it has a location.
That would be Mount Greylock in Massachusetts.
Yeah, Western Massachusetts.
On Mount Greylock. Which is why I have funny tweets from, like, Senator Elizabeth Warren tweeted that she was available to teach Defense of the Dark Arts there. Because she's already taken on Donald Trump. How hard could Death Eaters be? She tweeted that. The governor... Charlie Baker, the governor of Massachusetts, gave a good natured statement to the Boston Globe about the story, which has apparently been there for hundreds of years without them knowing it. So, the governor believes that small businesses are the backbone of the economy, whether they are owned by witches or mortals. And because the institution has operated for nearly 400 years without incident, the administration plans to revisit the matter sometime in the next century or two. The Department of Revenue Spell Detecting Technology Procurement will be in its final stages at that time.
Excellent.
Yeah, so people are having fun with it.
Now, the North Americans have a different name for people who don't have magical powers. Normally it was Muggles.
Which is a terribly British word.
And Muggles. Now, North America, they're nomads.
My God. Really? That's terrible.
Yeah, it is way worse than Muggle.
Yeah, no, that's terrible.
And this house, or not house, the school actually was founded by the Irish woman who escaped Ireland and her crazy aunt. And She's got, like, the Wand of Slytherin buried out somewhere on the grounds. Because that's a good idea.
Weird.
And she married a nomad. And he helped found the school. They also have another government that's like the Ministry of Magic, except in North America. And they're a little more hardcore on cracking down on the people not knowing they're there. Because apparently witch hunts are popular.
Gee, like they had a history, like, you know, places in the United States had a history of that or something?
Yeah, weird. So, like, when you go to the school, you don't get a wand until you're there, and then you get your wand chosen, and you leave your wands at school, come back and get them until you're out, and then you can take them. They've got all these, like, fancy machines, like, in New York that do magic suppression.
Weird.
The thing that I like about this Pottermore thing and how it's written, though, is they just casually use the terminology now. So, like, they just say, and he was born a squib.
I don't know what
a squib is?
I have no idea.
Exactly. It's great. So, a squib is someone born without magic, from a magical family.
So, the opposite of what, what's her name is?
Hermione? Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't her family not magical?
Yeah, they're dentists. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff, and the houses are just strange names.
Well,
if you want to read more, it's all on Pottermore.
Andrew, if you open your Discord and have no friends online, One Piece is right there. It's absolutely, when you have no friends online, it says nobody's around to play with One Piece. Which is why I've heard of that. What was the second one? I don't remember what the second one was. Oh, the Thunderbird, which is funny to me, because the card.
And Bug Wedgie.
Sure. Whatever that is. If you are really interested in Harry Potter and somehow haven't seen it, that's a thing. Pottermore.com?
Yeah. Get sorted into your Hogwarts house, your Overmarty house, and get chosen for a wand that fits your personality.
Yeah, you go ahead and enjoy all that. And I'm going to not do any of that. Saves more bandwidth for the rest of you. Alright, well, that's all we have for this week. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Dud75, D-U-D-7-5. Andrew?
I'm at DUP3, which is dupe, and as I'm discovering more and more, Lee is dead.
Dead? What?
Yeah, but nobody knows what Leet Speak is, and I am forever DUP3.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with the decline of Leet Speak, thanks. As we mentioned earlier, you can find our website, which is GweeklyNews.com. You will have our show notes there. You can play the episodes from there. Yes, they're embedded, aren't they?
Yeah,
or something.
They are embedded. They are also downloadable from iTunes.
Yes. And you can also, on the website, leave comments on each post. I don't know if there's any new blogs, but there's blogs, old blogs. You can read them if you haven't read them before.
Yeah.
You can email us if you want to tell us that we're right about this or we're wrong and idiots about that, which is much more likely. You can email us at feedback@gweeklynews.com, and it should, if you know, we should see that. Sometimes we don't. It happens. But I think that's fixed. Unless it broke again. In the months that we haven't used it.
Ray.
You can also find us on Facebook. Facebook vanity.com/weeklynews, probably. I assume that's the
vanity URL.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember, but hopefully.
I'm typing it right now to see if it takes us to it. Oh, look, Weekly News Desk at Weekly News. Oh,
I'm so good.
So good I did basic social media setup. Yeah. I mean, isn't that almost part of your job?
Yeah.
Yes. And as you said, iTunes, you find us there. And, you know, we would love a rating and a review, you know. If you want to, I believe Andrew is the only one who's reviewed the podcast, which is terrible.
I am. Please don't leave me alone in reviewing my own work.
Yes, so that's all we have this week. We will hopefully be better than we have been and be back next week. I plan on it.
I'm down.
All right, so... thank you for listening, and I still don't have a good sign off, so see you next time.
Play War Machine. It's the best.